2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 16 through 18. This is the reading of God's word. Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean. And I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we pray that you would bless your people, that you will grant an ear to hear your word through your word, hear your voice through your word. Tell us, Father, stories of our Lord Jesus Christ, what he has done, what he has accomplished for us, so that we may rejoice. So that we may be able to see what our heavenly reality is already. So that we may believe, so that we may live according to what we believe. Live according to the truth. And Father, we pray that you will cause us to grow to the fullness of Christ, that our faith will grow, that we will be more and more like your Son, so that we may be able to bring glory and honor to you as we live our lives here on earth, as we live our lives as your temple, holy temple. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We began looking at this topic, how we are the temple of the living God, and we continue that today and a few more times. We are the temple of the living God. God is with us. He lives in us. And His glory is filled in us. And when we look at that reality, how we have become His temple, and how the whole God lives in us, we see that God has given Himself to us. We possess entire God as He possesses all of us. The temple of God is also holy temple, and that is our topic today. That not only we're His temple, but we are His holy temple. Now, what does the word holy mean? When it comes to human beings, being holy always includes the morally pure, morally superior quality. But when the Bible uses the word holy, more often than not, it means to set apart, being separate. For example, when the Mount Sinai is called Holy Mountain, it has nothing to do with moral superiority because mountain, we cannot talk about mountain in terms of morals. And yet it's still called holy, holy mountain. It means that mountain is set apart. And being holy means not just set apart, but set apart for the purpose and the will of God. Set apart for the glory of God. Thus, being holy means not just being morally good, But it points to our purpose in existence. For what purpose are we set apart? And also, one other important question is this: from what are we set apart? We're set apart from what? Thus, it points to where we belong. Where do we belong? Or to whom we belong. So when we say we're holy, the issue is, where do we belong? Or to whom do we belong? Do we belong to this world, or do we belong to heaven? Because nothing in this world and everything that world owns is not holy unless you are set apart for the purpose of glorifying God. Do we belong to God, or do we belong to Satan? Thus, being holy means to belong to God. That's how you become holy. Unless you belong to God, you are not holy. So don't think of this word like the world does. When we say holy, the only thing that could think of it is in terms of morals. But it's all about, to whom do you belong? Unless you belong to God, you are not holy. And it is not just about the appearance. Some people can act holy. So when you look at, you know, especially pastors, you know, even their walking is different. And you say, whoa, holy person. But when Bible speaks of holiness, it is not about appearance. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's talking about the end times. Let me just read from verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. And you and I, we are living in the last days. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, and on and on and on. And one other thing in verse 5. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Holding to a form of godliness. So they have this appearance of holiness, but they're not holy. But the whole world is all about appearance, as we have looked at it. Even in this letter, Paul was telling us how world, they don't really care. It's all about on the outside. How do we look? And if you could act, if you could fake it, that holiness, then you will be holy to the world. No, being holy means that we belong to God. Being holy points to our reality, the reality of us belonging to God. See, when you say, I am holy, then it points to your reality that you belong to God. The reality of being saved out of this world and sin. The reality of us having relationship with God. The reality of God being with us, that we are with Him. We are the holy temple of the living God. So when we say we're holy, simply we mean to express our reality. That we do not belong to this world anymore, but we belong to God. That we are not of this world, but we are the citizens of God's kingdom. Do not understand this word in terms of worldly morals. If we do that, then even non-Christian could be holy. But that is not what the Bible is teaching us. Yes, you and I, we might not be good person in this world, but you are truly holy. Not because you are morally superior to non-Christians, but because you belong to God. First, our God is holy. He is wholly other, meaning that He is perfectly set apart from all the things of the whole universe. There is nothing like Him. He is truly holy. And we're not just talking about His moral. Of course, God is good. But more than that, He is wholly other. Nothing in this world is like God. God is completely set apart from the world. Psalm 113 verse 5, who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high? Well, the answer is no one. Nothing else. Exodus 15 verse 11, who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders? Isaiah 40 verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with Him? Question and answer is nothing. Isaiah 46 verse 5, to whom would you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we would be alike? God said. Now, you have to understand this. This is what it means when we say God is holy. There's nothing like Him in this world, in this universe. It's a wholly other. Thus, to be holy for us means to belong to this holy God, so that you are completely changed, new creation, so that you have nothing to do with this world, that there is nothing in this world that we could compare with you, because you are now saved out of the world and you don't belong here. You are a new creation. We are transferred from sin and from this world to God and heaven. Now, holy God is terrifying to sinners. Filthy sinners cannot stand the holy God. The fire of His holiness will consume the sinners. Isaiah Chapter 6, verse 1 through 5, Isaiah meets God and he says, in the year of King Uzziah, his death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now that I saw God, I will be ruined, I will be consumed, I will be destroyed. Holy God. Terrifying to sinners. Thus, in order for us to be holy, the first thing that has to happen is that our sins have to be paid for. There's no other way. The sin, that problem of sin has to be taken care of in order for anyone to be holy. Because the wage of sin is death. And God shows us this reality in the Old Testament through the sprinkling of the blood. For example, the furnishings of the temple were sprinkled with blood to make them holy. What is the point? Why the blood? Because of this point that we're making. And of course, those things we see in the Old Testament is typological. Because the blood of animal cannot make anything holy, but as a type, it points to the reality how Jesus' blood can truly make all of us holy. But not only the blood is sprinkled, but what do we see also in the Old Testament? That they were anointed with oil to make them holy. Go to Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40, verse 9. Then you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and shall consecrate it and all its furnishings, and it shall be holy. You shall anoint the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and consecrate the altar, and the altar shall be most holy. You shall anoint the laver and its stand and consecrate it. Then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to be to the doorway of the tent of meeting and wash them with water. You shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister as a priest to me. You shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall anoint them even as you have anointed their father, that they may minister as priests to me, and their anointing will qualify them for a perpetual priesthood throughout their generation. And all this was typological, as you see. But the point is this. In the Old Testament, the reality of being holy, the blood is sprinkled and you are anointed with oil, so that you are holy. Now, the blood of animal was pointing to the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have been looking at this For many times the oil was pointing to the Holy Spirit. Thus, we see the reality of God's people being holy. Holy temple of God in the New Testament. Jesus dies for their sins. And God cleanses his people with Jesus' blood. And when Jesus resurrects from the dead, he ascends into heaven and he sends the oil, the Holy Spirit. And the Acts chapter 2, what do you see? The Holy Spirit coming. You are being anointed. The blood of Jesus cleanses your sins, and you're being anointed with oil in chapter 2 of Acts. God's people are becoming holy. God comes and lives in them. See, so many people misunderstand Acts chapter 2. They think it's all about Holy Spirit come and you speaking in tongue. That is not the point of Acts chapter 2. This is amazing story, what you see in Acts chapter 2. We saw how you are filled with the glory of God as God comes to his people. But not only that, God anoints you. You are made holy. Holy temple of God. Acts chapter 2. We see the coming of the Holy Spirit. We saw from this last time that we have become the temple of God, that he actually comes and lives in you, and he fills his glory in you, but God comes to make us holy temple, anoints us with the eternal oil. Do you see it then throughout the whole redemptive history? What is God doing? He's making us holy temple. That's what salvation is all about. When you look at the flow of redemptive history, as Jesus finishes his work and he ascends and the Holy Spirit coming, what does all this mean? We are becoming the holy temple of God, eternal dwelling place of God, so that God could live with us forever and ever. That is what salvation is all about. It's not about you becoming healthy and you speaking in tongue or whatever all these people are focused on. No. At the end, we are his holy dwelling place. That God is with us and we are with God. And this is our present reality. We have come out from sin and out from this world. And we now belong to God and his kingdom. We have become the holy temple of God. We have been set apart from sin. And we have been set apart from this world. And we are separated from the world and sin. We are truly holy. We have already come out from them and we are separated from them. Thus the command in verse 17, therefore come out from their midst and be separate, is so obvious. Because God has already brought you out. Thus he says to you, come out. God already have set you apart. Thus he says, be separate. Always God's command. God's command is given in terms of what God has already done for you. See, if God, if He does not bring you out and He just tells you to come out, then forget it. You cannot come out. You have no ability, no power to come out. So when God says to come out, that means He already brought you out. Thus He commands you. I told you this many times. You know, Ten Commandments. He did not give them Ten Commandments while they were in Egypt. He brought them out and commands them. He did not say, okay, you are in Egypt, so you do this, then I will bring you out. No, He brought them out, then commands. See, whenever God commands, it already shows you what He has done and accomplished for you. Otherwise, His command is meaningless for you because you cannot obey. See, if He didn't do what He did and He just commands you, then His command is just go to hell. That's all it's saying. Because you will not and you cannot obey His commands, and you will go to hell. That's why the imperatives has to flow out from indicatives. Now, some of you are going, what? Whoa, all of a sudden our pastor is so intelligent. No, commands has to flow out from what God has done. That's the beauty of the gospel. So commands, His commands, it's not burdened to us. It brings joy to us because not only He commands us, but He's telling us what He has done. Do you understand that? He brought you out from this world, so He says, come out. He has already set you apart from this world. He says, be separate because you are now able because of what God has done for you. Do you understand? To become the temple of God is to be holy. And because of our sins, Jesus had to die before the Holy God, the Father. But because of what He has done for us, the Holy Spirit is not, a Holy God is not to us someone to be terrified any longer. This is what the salvation of God is all about, being set apart from sin and being set apart from the world so that we may belong to God. This is what it means to be holy. God saves us, and being with us, thus we are set apart from the world. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His own possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. You are a holy people of God. Why? Because He chose you out from every other nation. He brought you out from all of those people. That's why you're holy. Please do not think of the word holy in terms of moral only. Then you will truly miss the main point that the Bible is making. God chose you out from, I mean, there are so many people, but He brought only these people out from them. That's why you're my holy people. Thus, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1 through 5, when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, land of Canaan, and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God delivers them before you, and you defeat them, then you shall utterly destroy them, you shall make no covenant with them, and show no favor to them. Furthermore, you shall not intermarry with them, you shall not give your daughters to their sons, nor shall you take their daughters for your sons, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. But thus you shall do to them, you shall tear down their altars and smash their sacred pillars and hew down their asherim and burn their graven images with fire. And you get the point, what God is saying, you are holy. You cannot intermarry with non-believers. Why? Because they will drive you out from worshiping God. Now, in the Old Testament, this intermarriage was not so much believers and non-believers, but Jews and Gentiles. But now, in this end time, only division is Jesus Christ. It's not about being Jew or being Gentile. Yes. Seriously, do not bound together with non-believers. What partnership, what fellowship, what harmony, what is common, what agreement between believers and non-believers? To save is to set apart. See, the whole human race, they're fallen in sin. They're all going to hell. So God to save some out from that is to set you apart, is to make you holy. In the Old Testament, this setting apart by God, though in typological way, was shown in so many things. There were holy places, holy land and holy temple. There were holy people, priests, Levites, firstborn, or even Jews. And there were holy things, sacrifices, you know, temple furnishings. And there were holy times, Sabbath, the year of Jubilee, that certain times are set apart. And there were, the law of God itself showed this setting them apart from the sinful world, that they are now holy so that God has given them the law that belongs to heaven, law that belongs to God. All typological, yes. Because Old Testament holy place is no longer holy place. Old Testament holy people are no longer holy people. And on and on. Because in Jesus Christ, God's setting apart is now being perfectly fulfilled. And it's not just typological, you are actually saved out of this world. You're actually set apart from this world. Not just typological setting apart within the worldly things, but you are actually saved out. There is no more relationship between you and the world. The world is dead to you, and you are dead to it. You are holy. Jesus is the Holy One.
the Holy One. In Acts chapter 4, Jesus is called the Holy Servant. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and at his baptism, we see the coming of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 17, we read about his prayer as the eternal high priest, verses 16 and 17. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, or to make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus is the holy temple. Jesus is the holy high priest. Jesus is the holy Levite. Jesus is the holy firstborn. Jesus is the holy sacrifice. Jesus is the Lord of the holy time, holy Sabbath. And in him, then, you and I too are now holy. We have been chosen out of this world, John 15. We have been rescued from this present evil age, Galatians 1. We have been rescued from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, Colossians chapter 1. We have been set apart from this world and sin, and we are of God and his kingdom now and forever. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified, who have been made holy in Christ Jesus, saints by calling. Saints, meaning holy ones. Romans chapter 1, verse 7, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, the holy ones. This is how the Paul addresses the church. Saints, the holy ones, set apart ones. And you have to truly understand who you are, unless you are not. It's either you are or you're not. If you are holy, then you are set apart from the world. You have no relationship with the world. If you're not, then you still belong to the world. We believe. We are the holy ones. And you must understand what that is. So it is pointing to, when we say we're holy temple, it points to our reality, who we are, and what is the reality that we now possess. That's the issue. Am I holy? Yes. That means I don't belong to the world anymore. I used to belong to the world, but God brought me out and set me apart from the world. I'm separate now. Thus, I do not touch the unclean things. I do not associate with the world. Leviticus 19 verse 2, speak to all the congregation of the sons of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I am the Lord your God, am holy. God is holy and you belong to God, thus you are holy. God is completely separate from the world, and now you belong to God, so you are completely separate from the world. You are now wholly other when it comes to the world. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 6, thus you are the holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. That is what it means to be holy. Listen again. God says, you are holy. Why? Because I have set you apart from the other people to be mine. This is what it means to be holy ones of God. Now you must live that holy life. That's why God says, come out and be separate. Because you are holy. We must understand what God has done and believe. Otherwise, you are not able to obey His commands. Think about this. If you don't know who you are, then you will never be able to live as who you are. And even if you do it, it's all fake because you don't believe it. But see, faith is a powerful thing. And it is God's design. Because if I stand here and tell you, be holy, be holy, be holy, let's go home, just forget it. You know and I know we're not going to make it. But my message to you is, God has set you apart. God saved you out of this world. He already made you holy. Believe. That's my message. And when you believe, Bible guarantees that slowly but surely, you will live that holy life, but you must believe. See, people, even people who come to church, they don't believe. I mean, they might think they believe intellectually, but when it comes to, you know, their actual living their life, they don't believe it. So that they act like they actually belong to the world. They do things the world does, not no difference whatsoever, because they don't really believe. And I, as your pastor, you know, God doesn't beg you, but I beg you, believe. Believe what God has accomplished for you. Because the faith will bring the good works that God prepared for you even before the foundation of the universe. That you will live a holy life in faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And it's not just moral sense. Again, please don't understand only in terms of morals. A lot of decisions that you make in this universe will not be considered moral by the world. But even those things, you must do them according to your reality of you being holy. You don't belong to this world. I don't know how more easily I say this. You just don't belong to this world. The Holy Spirit came to us and resides in us. And we have become the holy temple of God. God has set us apart. God has set us apart God has made us holy, and we must see our eternal reality of being set apart now and forever from this world and sin. We must believe. Brothers and sisters, Jesus' blood has cleansed all your sins, and God has anointed you with the Holy Spirit. You are truly, truly holy. You are the eternal holy temple of God. And at the end, brothers and sisters, this world and everything in this world will be eternally destroyed. All unclean things will be destroyed. And unclean, not in a worldly sense. If it is not of God, then it is unclean. You know, when it comes to these terms, you cannot understand these terms in terms of how the world understands it. You know, unclean, oh, what? So you wash it and you make it clean, then... No, even if you wash your clothing 10 million times and there's no dirt on your, you know, clothing, and you look so, you shave and you cut your hair and you're so clean looking, but you're unclean if you don't belong to God. Understand? Even if you live morally, worldly wise, morally good life, you're still unclean if you don't belong to God. But you do belong to God. And all unclean things will be destroyed. Everything that is not holy will be destroyed. Do you understand? But you will not be destroyed because you are holy people, holy temple of God. Only holy will remain. Holy God and holy dwelling place of God will remain. Hear what God says to you then. Come out from their midst and be separate. And don't touch what is unclean. Let your heart not be hardened when you hear the voice of God today. Come out and be separate. Why? Because God has brought you out already and set you apart already. God has made you holy. And this is who we are. Amazing grace. Filthy sinners like you and me, we have become the holy temple of God. We'll continue study of this temple. There's so much to say. It is just amazing thing. So much of glory of God is just shining through this. So let us pray then. We'll meet again next time and talk about more. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You have made us your temple. Now you live in us. You fill all of us with your glory. You gave all of you yourself to us. We now possess God. And you have made us holy. You have brought us out of this world and sin. And you have set us apart from this world and from sin. And we now belong to you. We belong to holy God. And in Jesus Christ, we are already holy. That is who we are. And that is our eternal reality that has already been accomplished. Oh, Father, bless us, bless this church, that all of us will show to the whole world how holy we are, how set apart from this world we are, how we have come out of this world and sin. Let us witness the holiness
that God has accomplished for us. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.